thank you again this morning for being here, and I welcome you. My name's Brady Wood. I'm the pastor here at Pleasant Valley South, and this morning we're going to begin a new series of sermons in the book of Jonah. So if you'll take your Bible, we're going to be here for the next several weeks in the Old Testament book of Jonah, and you can find Jonah here in your text. Towards the end of the Old Testament, Jonah's a small Old Testament book. If you have trouble finding it, do what I do often, and that's go to the table of contents. Now, I know you laugh, but I'm serious. Okay, you do not need to be ashamed, especially you may be a new Christian here today, and there's no guilt in it at all. You know, if you'll go to the very front of your Bible, you'll see a table of contents, and you look, you'll find Jonah. For me, it's on page 942, so maybe your Bible, it's close to that number as well. And we're going to be in this little small book. This is a small book in the Old Testament, but a very important and very powerful book that applies to us today. Before we begin, I just want to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, I just want to extend to you, God, the glory and praise that's due to you. Just as we sang this morning, Jesus, this is all about you. You alone are to be exalted. God, no one else in this room matters. It's really only you, Jesus. And so we just ask, God, that you would keep us humble. And Lord, that Jesus, you would be lifted up and you would be praised. Lord, may we leave here today knowing, God, that you met with us. Because, Lord, it's you, you're the one that we came here to encounter. And so we thank you for what you've done so far. And we're just asking as we open up the text today and we read your holy word that it would impact our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, I don't know if kids do this anymore, but I remember as a kid, and maybe some of you do, of a time when maybe you didn't like what your parents said to you. Maybe it was a rule. It could have been you were going to be getting in trouble for something. I don't know exactly in your situation, but I remember in my life there was a time that I didn't like something my parents were telling me, and so I packed my backpack. And it wasn't as rainy as it was yesterday, but it was just kind of a dreary day. And I got on my bicycle and I headed out of the neighborhood. And I found a nice deep ditch somewhere, and I parked my bicycle over there next to it. And I crawled down in that ditch and I decided I was running away. And I know I'm not the only one in here that ever ran away from home, okay? And I just decided I'm running away from home. The best thing for me to do is to just get out of here. And I had done that several times. And, you know, it lasted 15 minutes to an hour, you know. And then I was back. But this time I was determined, hey, I'm in it for the long haul. I put some snacks in my backpack. And so this time, man, I had stayed in that ditch for several hours. It was starting to get dark. And my parents weren't running after me. You know, it was just kind of like, what we're going to see. And eventually, as it got darker and darker, I started thinking, you know what, maybe I do need to go home. And so I got up and I went back home. And when we study the book of Jonah, what we see is we see a man, really a prophet of God, who doesn't like what God is telling him. He just doesn't like it. He doesn't like what he thinks God is, what he believes God's going to do. He doesn't like the call that God's placing on his life. And so what he does is he tries to run away. And he tries to run away from God and get away from God. And yet in all of that, as he's trying to get far from God, we know that God would not allow Jonah to get away from him. And so as we read this text today and as we study the book of Jonah, I want you to understand that we're entering into the lives of many people as we study this text. And we're going to see God's hand on Jonah's life. We're going to see God's hand on a great city, the city of Nineveh and all the Ninevites. And we're going to see what God wants to do in our lives as well. And so we're going to read the first three verses of this text as we begin. And it's the Word of God says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me. Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. Jonah, I want you to make a mental note of this. Is I want you to know that as we study this account, that this is a real historical account of what God did in a city and in the life of a prophet. Jonah was a real man. Jonah had a real life. Jonah had a real calling. Nineveh was a real place. We see here in Jonah 1:1 that the word of the Lord, that is, God spoke to Jonah. Just the same way God speaks today, God spoke to Jonah then. As God spoke then, he speaks today. He speaks to us through his word. That's why when we open up the text on Sunday morning, or when you open up the Bible Monday morning at your home and you read it, you can know that the word of the Lord is being read. God is speaking. You want to hear God speak? Read his Bible. And so God spoke to Jonah and he said, Jonah, I have a command for you. I have a commission for you. I have a call for you. And in 1:1 it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and he is the son of Amittai. And so we see Jonah was a real man. Now, you may hear from other people that would try to make an appeal to you that would say, well, this isn't a real story. This is just a fairy tale. This is just a made-up story in the Bible. Because as you're going to see, and I'm sure most of you know in here, we're going to see that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. And people have trouble sometimes believing that something like this account could actually happen. But friend, we got to take God's word from cover to cover, and we got to believe it. Because listen, if the account of Jonah is not real, then what is real in the Bible? I don't get to pick and choose what I want to believe in Scripture. I got to believe all of Scripture. And so we have this real man, Jonah, this prophet of God that God was using there in Jerusalem, who God's saying, I have something I want you to do. I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach a word to Nineveh, because their sin has come up against me. Now, as we unpack this, I want us to see that this morning, really, that the theme is being far from God. And maybe you today have come in here, and if you were to really be honest with yourself, maybe it's a miracle that you're even here in the first place, because you're far from God. And we find ourselves at times being far from God. And in these first three verses, we see that there's a city that's far from God. We see Jonah is a man who wants to get far from God. But God has a great plan. I want you to notice that the Ninevites were a people far from God. God tells Jonah in verse 2, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me. Nineveh were a people that were far from God. God told Jonah, get up from where you're at and go. But Jonah did not get up and go where God wanted him to go, but he got up and he began to go somewhere else. And there's some reasons why that Jonah went the other way. And part of the reason is because of what we know about this great city of Nineveh. Nineveh was called a great city because, well, number one, and I'm going to share with you several reasons. Number one, Nineveh was great in size. Nineveh was a large city. It was a large city with hundreds of thousands of residents. There, that city was a great city because it was a large city. At one time, this city was in the Assyrian Empire, but it was at one time the capital of the Assyrian Empire. That means that it was great in power. When we think about the power of different countries. When we think about the United States of America, we think about Washington, D.C., and that it gives us this sense of power. That's where the power is there in that city, because that's where the White House is, and that's where the Congress and the Senate and the Supreme Court all reside there in Washington, D.C. Well, there was a time in the Assyrian Empire where Nineveh was actually the capital city. So it was a city of great power, of great renown. It was also a city of great fearful force. Here's what I mean by that. The Ninevites in Nineveh in the Assyrian Empire were known for their brutality. They were known for their cruelty. They were a cruel people. They would, for instance, and this is some terrible things that the Ninevites would do, but they were a warring people, and they would claim victims, and they would take their victims, and they would rip the limbs off of their victims. They would rip the hands off of their victims. They would literally take victims that they would capture, and instead of just killing them, they would flay them alive, and then they would die. A cruel city, a brutal city, with a wicked people who had no mercy or care for other people that were not a part of them. And in fact, they would take their victims and they would sever off their heads, and they would pile up their heads and their skulls all around the entrances of the city. So as you approached Nineveh, you would pass by mounds and mountains of skulls that were stacked high, and that would cause great fear to be going through the body of people that were coming into or going through or going around Nineveh. They were announcing to the world that they were a great city that must be feared because they were a brutal people. Most of all, though, and this is what we really must not overlook today, the greatest way that they were a great city, I believe, is that they were great in their sin. Look at it again. It says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me. Nineveh was great in their sin against God. God says, their evil has come up before me. Did you know today that all sin is evil? Every sin that you and I commit is evil. There's not some sin that's okay. There's not some sin that, well, it's just a little white lie, it's not a big deal. All sin is evil, and all sin is evil to a holy God. And let me say one more thing. Every sin you commit is a sin you've committed against God. You commit that sin against God. And God does not overlook sin. And so Nineveh had been stacking up their sin. And God says their sin has been stacked up, and it's piled up, and it stinks to the high heavens. God says their sin has now reached where I'm at in heaven, and I smell the stench of their sin. I see the ugliness of their sin, and time has run out. Time has come up. It's time for the bill to come due. God says it has reached me, and now, Jonah, I want you to go, and here's what I want. I want you to go and preach against this great city of Nineveh. God doesn't overlook sin. And so God is sending his prophet. Now you might say, well, why is God sending Jonah to Nineveh to preach against it? Because as I was studying this, I began thinking, if God really had an issue with this wicked, evil city of Nineveh, and if they were so bad as it seems like they were, why did God not just wipe them off the face of the earth? I mean, really. I mean, God could do it. I mean, he could speak it and it's done and they all be gone. You know, and sometimes we may think that in our own lives when we look around this world and we see the evil in this world. We see evil people. We see evil nations. And we say, God, why are they still around? God, if you are really all powerful, why don't you just say the word and wipe them off the face of this earth? But that's not what God does here. What does God do? It says he is sending his prophet Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach against it. Now understand something. He says, Jonah, I want you to go and preach against this wicked city. So Jonah's going with a message of condemnation. He's going, sharing the message of God's wrath. And we'll see that in chapter 3. Because Jonah has a message that God gives him, 7-word message that he's going to preach over and over and over again. And it's a message of judgment, and it's a message of wrath. But why does God do that? I want to tell you why. It's why God does everything the same way in our lives as well. God loved the Ninevites. Even though they were evil and wicked, even though they had sinned against him, even though at the time they could care less about God, they didn't care at all about God, God still loved those people. And so he sends Jonah to Nineveh to give them another chance. To give them another chance. To say, Nineveh, I'm giving you another chance. Would you turn from that sin and trust in me? That's the theme, if you will, of Jonah, is that God gives second chances. Did you know that? I'm so thankful. God is a God of second chances. He's a God of third chances, of fourth chances. God is a God of many opportunities and chances in our life. I'm so thankful that when I've messed up, God just didn't give up on me, but he gave me another chance. And then he gave me another chance. And he extends his grace, and he extends his mercy, and he extends his long suffering, and he extends his patience. And he says, Brady, I'm hanging on to you, and I'm not giving up on you. I'm giving you another chance. But when he gives you another chance, he gives you that chance with his word that tells you it's time to turn back to him. Or maybe today, it's time for you, for the very first time, to turn from your evil, wicked ways, repent, and turn to Jesus for salvation. And so, that's what God is doing here with the Ninevites. Yet, Nineveh was far from God, but we see Jonah was a man who wanted to get far from God. Jonah was having a great life as a prophet there, in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. I mean, he was living a great life. And then out of nowhere, God says, Jonah, it's time for you to go. Pick up your things. Head down to Joppa. And head over there to the Ninevites. Go to Nineveh, where you can go and preach to this evil, wicked people. But what did Jonah do? Here's what he did. It says he got up. Verse 3, Jonah got up. God told him to get up. But then it says, instead of going to Nineveh, he got up to flee to Tarshish. To flee from the Lord's presence, he went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare. He went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. Nineveh was 550 miles from Joppa. Okay? 550 miles from Joppa. That's how far Jonah was going to need to travel to go to Nineveh. But Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. And he didn't like what God was telling him to do. And so he went to Joppa, and it says he boarded a ship to head to Tarshish. Tarshish was 2,500 miles from Joppa. It was the furthest known sea voyage of that day. So here's what Jonah did. He got up and he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to disobey God, and I'm going to go in the complete opposite direction that God's telling me to go to. I'm going to go the literal furthest place I can get away from Nineveh, where God has told me to go. Now, at this point, we may think that there's some reasons why he would do that. I mean, when you think about the cruel nature of the Ninevites and what we've already seen, how brutal they were sworn enemies of Jonah's people, of the Israelites. Okay, they were enemies. And so Jonah's like, I'm supposed to go to Nineveh, God, and preach to them this message of judgment and wrath that you're giving me to preach to them. He says, I'm not gonna make it through the gates. They're gonna meet me at the gates, and I'm gonna be flayed alive like all these other people were. And my skull's just gonna be added to the top of one of these mountains that they've piled high there in and around the city. But that's not what the Bible says is the main reason why Jonah fled. It says Jonah fled because he was trying to flee from what? It says it right here. He went down to Joppa. He wanted to flee from the Lord's presence. He wanted to flee from the Lord's presence. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been in that place in your life that for whatever reason you were uncomfortable being in the presence of God? You didn't want to pray. You didn't want to read and study your Bible. Maybe you're there today. Perhaps the only reason you came to church today is because you just feel like you want to keep a reputation for yourself. You really didn't even want to be here. But you came anyways. And really, what you're dealing with is the Lord's presence is making you uncomfortable. You just don't want to be in the presence of God. For Jonah, he wanted to escape the Lord's presence because he just didn't like what God was doing. He didn't agree with what God was doing. He didn't agree with, or he didn't sign off on what God was wanting to do in his life or in the life of the Ninevites. We're going to see later in Jonah chapter 4 that Jonah tells us exactly why he fled. It tells us that he fled because he believed and knew that God was going to be merciful and save the people of Nineveh. And I'll just put it plain and simple. He hated it. He hated the Ninevites. He didn't think they should be saved. He didn't think they were worthy of the grace and the mercy of God. He despised it. He didn't like it. There was nothing he liked about it at all. And so he said, I'm going to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, as we think about that, I want you to consider in your life all the ways that God has been at work in your church, all the ways that God has been at work in your life, and I want you to consider this. God knows what he's doing, and you can trust him. God has a plan, and you can be obedient to him. And we don't need to be like Jonah. We don't need to be a people that are fleeing from the presence of God, but we need to be a people drawing near to the presence of God. And so we have a people that are far away from God, the Ninevites. We have a man, Jonah, who wants to get far away from God. And I want you to notice as he tries to get away from God, look at what happens. It says in verse 3 that he got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare. He went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. I want you to notice this truth, I believe, that applies to us today. When you try to get away from God, if you try to run from God, just as Jonah is doing here, the devil will help you do that. Did you know that? He'll help you do that. If you want to try to run away from God, the devil's going to open up doors. He's going to provide opportunities. And the temptation is going to be there. Friend, if you're dealing and you're dabbling in sin and you're, and sir, today, perhaps the thought has come across your mind, hey, you know what? God doesn't know what's best for my life. My wife is not fulfilling my needs, and I'm unsatisfied in this marriage, and you know what? God doesn't know what's best, and so maybe I can just cheat on my wife, and nobody will find out, and I'll feel better about myself. And I'm telling you, if you start thinking those things, and you start contemplating those things, and you start thinking about running away from God like that, you better believe it. There's going to be an opportunity for you. There will be an opportunity for you. And the devil will make sure that all of a sudden that woman that you thought you might like to spend some time with, boy, she's available to you now. Jonah got on down to Joppa. Now Tarshish was the longest sea voyage of the day, 2,500 miles. Ships weren't heading out of the seaport every day going to Tarshish. But when Jonah showed up, it just so happened, didn't it, that there was a ship going exactly where he wanted to go. Friend, I'm telling you today that if you're not careful, you're going to see the temptations come on you, and you will find yourself in an area that you do not want to find yourself in. If you try to run from God, be careful, because things are going to spring up and opportunities are going to be before you. If you're trying to run away from the church, God's going to show you, here's all these hobbies that you can do. Here's all these unchecked activities that you can do to get engaged in. And all of a sudden, you start coming to church once a month. And boy, that's all right, I'm going once a month. Then all of a sudden, it goes once every 2 months. Then all of a sudden, it's about every Easter and Christmas. And then all of a sudden, you don't take your family to church. You're just out of church altogether because you started having these thoughts. You started having these desires. You started running from God. And you see these opportunities just continue to present themselves to you. But as we're going to see with Jonah, if you decide to run from God, there are going to be consequences. The devil always wants to give you a picture of something that's going to be great and wonderful, but sin always costs you more than you were thinking you were going to pay. And it's going to harm your life. And so we see that when Jonah, he boarded this ship and he was trying to get away from God's presence. But let me close with this. We've come to our end of time, and I want to give us time to respond today. Let me close with this morning. No one can escape the presence of God. There's not a single person in here who can escape the presence of God. I want you to listen. I'm just going to read this really quickly, but in Psalm chapter 139, verse 7 says, "Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I fly on the wings of the dawn and settle down on the western horizon, even there your hand will lead me, your right hand will hold me." Here's what the Bible's telling us. You cannot escape the presence of God. It doesn't matter how hard Jonah tries. It doesn't matter how far Jonah runs. There's no getting away from the presence of God. There is no valley too deep. There's no mountain too high. There's no place too wide. There's nowhere you can run. There is nowhere you can hide from the presence of God. Jonah was trying to get away from God, but there's no getting away from God. The same is true for the Ninevites. The Ninevites believed they could just ignore God, and if they ignored God, God would ignore them. But God doesn't ignore you. It didn't matter how much sin the Ninevites committed. It didn't matter how much they ignored God. Mark this down today. You can ignore God, but God's not going to ignore you. I'm so thankful for that. He does not ignore us. That's why God is going to send Jonah to Nineveh, because he says, listen, you're ignoring me, but I have a message for you, and I have hope for you, and my desire for you is that you will repent, and I will relent from the disaster that I am bringing to you. Jonah tried to run, but there was not going to be any getting away. Nineveh tried to ignore God, but God would not ignore them. And here's what I'm saying to you, friend. God is not ignoring you today either. This is a word for you this morning. God has something he is doing and wants to do in your life. He was calling Jonah, and he wasn't going to let Jonah get away. He was going to do a work in Nineveh, and Jonah was going to go. And Nineveh wasn't going to be ignored, and Nineveh wasn't going to get away. Let me ask you something today. How is God calling you? How's God calling you? I believe there's several ways, but three ways he may be calling you today. Number one. And I'm going to ask our musicians, come on up. Number one. God may be calling you to salvation. That he is stirring in your heart. The Spirit is drawing you unto himself. And he's saying to you, today is the day of salvation. Repent and trust in me. Perhaps, like God was calling Jonah to service, maybe God's calling you to some area of service and ministry. Maybe he's calling you to preach, calling you into full-time service, calling you to be a missionary, calling you to do something in your local community. Listen to the voice of God and submit and surrender in obedience to him. Perhaps today God is calling you to rededicate your life in surrender to him. Say, you know what, God, I've been like Jonah. I've been trying to get away. And thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for giving me a second chance. And today, I'm going to rededicate, I'm going to resurrender myself to you and say, God, have your way in my life. However God is calling you, whatever he's doing, right here in a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing, and it's an opportunity for you to come forward and say, today, I'm making this decision for Jesus. Let's all stand and let's bow our heads. Father, we ask that you would move us right now to make a decision for you as you would lead us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please come right now as we sing.